And good afternoon. It is Tuesday, November the 20th, 2018. 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the next 2 hours. And boy, I'll tell you, 48 hours away from Thanksgiving, you are tuned into the right place. Now, I want to give you a little reminder about what's coming up next hour. Next hour, if you have not got yourself prepared for Thanksgiving yet, we have a chef on next hour that you're not going to want to miss. She has won over 200 blue ribbons in baking contests. She's been on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. She's been on The Rosie O'Donnell Show. She's been on The View. Marjorie Johnson, next hour with recipes for your Thanksgiving table Thursday. Now, food is only half of the part of the day on Thanksgiving. The other part of the day is family and friends. And there is one person who I consider a friend who feels like family. So even here on the radio, as we head into the big Turkey Day holiday, no better time to visit with a family friend, or a friend who feels like family, however you want to put it. You know him best from his work on stage in Old Calcutta, or maybe his work on the big screen in The Jerk and Analyze This, or quite possibly best known as Bea Arthur's husband on the hit TV series Maud, Walter Finley. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones, always a pleasure, Bill Macy. Bill, happy Thanksgiving.
I thank you so much, Scott. I listened to your introduction. I heard about Marjorie Johnson, the chef, and I heard about me being part of your friends and family. And everything you said is so delicious, except for one thing, and I hope you forgive me for mentioning what I'm going to mention.
Please go ahead.
I hate the music.
I knew you were going to say that.
How did you know that? It's garbage, and it interferes with your way of introducing people to your audience. That music is atrocious. In fact, I'm allergic to so much music, even though I love music when I was growing up and I was a young boy, because I'm 96 now, and I remembered some of the songs. Did I ever sing you any of the songs from my youth?
I don't think so.
Oh, boy, this is a Thanksgiving treat for me.
Here we go.
I'm going to sing a song called Lena, the Queen of Palestina. It was on a record that my mother had in the Victrola. It's a stand-up Victrola, you know, and then you wind it up with your hand, and you put the record on, and you put the needle on the record. And this is what came out. In the Bronx of New York City, there's a girl, she's not so pretty. Lena is her name. Such a girl as keen as Lena, how she plays the concertina really is a shame. They say that Lena is the queen of Palestine, just because she plays the concertina. She only knows one song. She plays it all day long. Sometimes she plays it wrong, but how they love it, one more of it. I heard her play once or twice. Ooh, murder. Still, it was nice. All the girls are dressed like Lena. Some wear oatmeal, some farina. Down old Palestina way. Thank you, Scott.
I didn't realize we were going to have a musical act today. This is so good. Now, I might make that my theme song. Do I have any other choice? Or are there any other songs?
Oh, well, this one has to do with the brainwashing song, if you're really interested.
Go ahead.
I'll do it for you because I've been doing it to people that I continually meet, because I'm very friendly. I walk up to somebody and I say, have you heard this? So this is another song. This is from about the 30s, 31, 32, 33, because I was born in 22. So this is about the product. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay, so here it goes. It goes like this. Oh, won't you buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land. Oh, won't you try Wheaties. Jack Armstrong says they're grand. They're crispy and crunchy the whole day through. Jack Armstrong never tires of them, and neither will you. So won't you buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land. How about that?
That's wonderful. See, I need something catchy like that. Lena, what was it again? Lena, the queen of...
Palestina. Well, you could buy the record if you can find it from 1900, 1910, 1920, something like that.
Now, this was all coming out of the radio when you were a young boy.
That's right. I was born in 22.
Now, did your mother have a favorite song? Was it Lena, the Queen of Pasadena?
I don't know. Maybe her song was Margie, but I don't know all the words to Margie. I just can open up and say the two syllables of her name. You want to hear that?
Go ahead.
Margie! And then the song follows after that. Yeah.
Now, did you have a favorite song in your life, Bill? Is there a song that you hum when you're in the shower?
Yes. You want to hear it?
Yeah, go right ahead. We're having fun.
The stars are going to twinkle and shine this evening about 8:45. My loving arms are going to tenderly twine about you about 8:45. I promise I won't be late, cause at 8:30, I'm going to hurry there. I'll be waiting where the lane begins. I'll be waiting for you on needles and pins. And then the world is going to be mine this evening about 8:45.
Oh, I like that. Who sang that?
Oh, maybe, forget offhand. My memory is not as good as it used to be because I'm 96.
Well, that's okay. When you get close to the century mark, we allow it.
Oh, I may reach it because I'm nervy, you know. Oh, look who's coming. I'm sitting in the dining room, and look who's coming. Come on, say hello to Scott.
Hi. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Samantha. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you so much. Bill sang that 8:45 song to me the other morning in the kitchen.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yes.
Now,
he's a very, very romantic guy.
Now, what is it like to live with Bill Macy?
It's a wild and wonderful experience. He's a very upbeat person, very kind and very crazy.
Friendly.
And very friendly.
I would agree. Well, thank you, Samantha. I appreciate it.
Now, happy Thanksgiving to you. I'm getting dressed for a luncheon.
Oh, well, have a good lunch.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, Bill, what will you be having for lunch today?
I almost choked on the grape that I'm eating.
Pastrami. You're going to have a pastrami sandwich.
Oh, my God. That's possible, but I don't know in the casino that I'll be playing in if they have decent pastrami, you know. There's a place called Langer's here, 7th Street in Alvarado in Los Angeles. They make the best pastrami. They cut it with a knife. They don't use the machine. And it's delicious. And sometimes I stop, pick up a sandwich. $22 for a sandwich. I don't eat the bread. And while I'm driving to a casino, I'll nibble on the pastrami with my fingers and have to make sure I keep my eyes on the road at the same time.
So how have the casinos been lately?
Oh, they're tough. You know why? It's fun to play cards. There's a many, many, many people, not as old as me, but as I, however the grammar is for that. But, you know, after a period of work and so on, a lot of people like to play cards. And there's a couple of young people also mixed in. When I say young, I mean like in their 30s and 40s and so on. And it's expensive if you're not a good player. And if you're a good player, it's a boring game because you don't play bad cards. And you just wait around an hour or two until you get a good hand and you go home and you win $30, $40, $50, $100, whatever it is. So it's a delicate situation, but nobody's calling me to do any acting anymore. And so after I have my breakfast, and I just had my breakfast waiting for our way to have the interview and the call. And so I go to the casino for 2 hours, and then I come home because I have to come home before dark because my vision is not as good as it used to be. So I usually leave the casino around 2:30, and I get home around 4, but it starts getting dark lately around 4:30. It's a monotonous kind of thing, but that's what life is sometimes.
Now, when you get home at 4:30, what do you do for the rest of the evening?
Oh, that's tough. That's really tough. I open up the television set and look at the garbage that they provide for us. My gosh, you're lucky that you're on radio, because your public, if they listen to your radio show, like they could be home in the kitchen or getting dressed or in the car and so on and so forth, that's at least palatable to the degree that they can handle it. Whereas when you look at television, my gosh, I have to use that button on television that not only mutes it, it takes off the imagery, like the commercials are, they wipe your brain clean. It's terrible with all of the commercials that are on, but they have to pay the bill, so you're stuck with that. So it's a very bad experience of having to be old and not being able to do much and to watch 2 or 3 hours of television then try to get to sleep.
Now, when you were doing Maude, did you have a lot of run-ins with people at the network? Because you did some pretty interesting subjects on Maude.
No, I never ran into anybody because I'm a good driver. Bad joke. Listen, I was not the star of the show. It was Beatrice Arthur. So therefore, I was a worker, and I did my show. I loved going home each night, learning the lines, going in the next day, to saying the lines and so on. And it was a pleasure just to work in that manner. And I did that for, like, 30, 40, 50 years, whether it was Maude or All in the Family or whatever the movies and shows that I just did. I didn't get into anything political or adventurous or anything like that. I was just happy as this ignorant kid from Brooklyn who got lucky. You know about the story about how I became an actor, don't you?
The taxi driver.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right. And somebody had a script, left the script. Martin Gable gave me the job, the first job as understudy to Walter Matthau in 1958. And then 1968 or 69 or 70, somewhere in those years, I read in the paper that he was going to do a play, a movie called Awake and Sing. I had just finished that on off-Broadway and for $60 a week. And I had the agent call California, and they said, well, we thought Bill was out with Julie Harrison in St. Louis, Missouri. And the agent said, he's sitting right here. He's unemployed. What do you want with him? And she said, send him out here. We'll put him up as a B. Arthur, and we'll give him some work. I mean, it was just crass like that, but I loved it. I just loved to get up and go to work. Now, and I had the same energy that I'm having with you, even though I was younger. I'm going to keep this. Oh, wait a minute. Did I tell you about the story that about my when I'm going to be 100? I want to talk to the actors in the audience for the Oscars. Did I tell you that one?
Tell that story.
I don't know if they're going to permit it, but I want to call the Actors Union, and when I'm 100, I want them to let me speak to the group in the hotel that they'll hire, to maybe 1,000 or 2,000 actors, and I want to get on the podium in front of a microphone, and with the one provision that I want them to do, I want them to put behind me the screen in which they show In Memoriam. That's for the actors that have died that year. and I want to die while I'm talking, and then I should say, as I'm falling to the floor, roll it! And my wife says she wants a front row seat.
Well, thank,
you know, she's only 75.
Well, thank goodness we've got 4 years before this will happen.
Oh, we only got, what am I, I'm going to be 97 in May.
97.
Yeah.
That's a nice age. Now, do you feel 97?
Mentally and energy-wise, I don't feel the age that we're talking about. Physically, it's difficult for me to maneuver as I did when I was 17. So it affects the thinking process a little bit. But I'm walking. Let me get up from the chair that I'm talking. You see, I just had to get up. Did you hear those sounds?
I did.
Now, I'm an actor, so I'm going to sit back down. I'm in my dining room. The dining room was about 12 by 12. I live in a small house. Anyway, listen to this. I'm an actor, right?
Yes.
And I want to get up to walk to the across the room. But now you're not going to hear a sound because as an actor, I'm going to do this. Watch. I'm up now, and you didn't hear anything. Now I'm going to show you two sounds. This is the sound of a 96-year-old. I'm walking, and I'm struggling. I'm moving my... I'm going... I'm breathing. I'm walking across... This is the size of my living room. I said, we have a small house, 1,800 square feet. I'm turning around now. Now, that was for 96. I'm bored with that kind of stuff. So now let me walk back to the chair that I was sitting in the dining room, like, say, 50, 60, 70. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here I go. Bum, ba-da-bum, 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 and I'm back to the chair, and I sit, and now I puff. And you know, this is better than TV or film. This is live radio.
This is live radio. And it's interesting because I think people should still be calling you for work. I think there are a lot of good parts you could do.
All right. Here's what happened a couple of months ago. The Late Show with Art Carney and Lily Tomlin and myself were shown, and I was invited and a bunch of other people. And so the casting director noticed me and said, there's a movie that could use you. And she told the producer, and she told the producer how old I was. So the producer said, I'll go to his house. So the producer came. It was a woman. Producer-director came to my house, sat down at the dining room, which is where I'm in right now. And she said, you know, we're doing this in Long Beach. I live in Beverly Hills. And that's around... 30 miles. And so I said, so what? She said, well, you're going to have a 2-hour ride down there and a 2-hour ride back. I said, well, I'm not going to do the drive. Don't you have a driver? And she said, well, we don't have the in the budget, you know. I said, what about a hotel? I'll live in there. It's Long Beach. She said, it's not in the budget. I said, thank you for coming. That was it.
That was the end of that. But
yeah.
Do you know what the part was?
Grandpa with a bunch of children around the table and having a little talk and fun, stuff like that.
Well, I think that would be good.
It would be, but I'm not going to go and drive 2 hours, 6 o'clock in the morning and then 6 o'clock at night. I can't drive at night anyway.
No. Hopefully there can be something in Beverly Hills.
Well, listen, my work is my life. If you can understand what I just said. Let me say that one more time. I want the audience that's listening to you and me, Scott, to understand what I just said. I said my work is my life, right?
Right.
Okay. What I mean by that is, by the way, I never said that before in my life because I just live and speak extemporaneously. So anyway... When I go to bed, okay, I struggle in bed 2 or 3 times, I have to go to pee and so on and so forth. And then I get up every day and I go through the motions of trying to get dressed and showering and getting into the car and then driving. And I work moment to moment to moment to moment to moment ad infinitum until I die. So that's my work.
That's
and
good.
That happens in my life. That's it.
That's
everybody
good.
Does that.
Everybody does that. And you are extemporaneous when you're at the casinos or when you're in the car or when you meet new people. So, you know, you're still working.
That's correct. Exactly correct.
And I think
and
that's
in the casino, they don't like my jokes sometimes because I tell them a little bit louder because I'm a show-off. And I sometimes tell jokes that are off color. Is that what's the word? Is that the expression? You know.
Yeah, it could be a little.
And I can't tell that on the radio because you know I respect some of the people that don't want to hear such jokes on the radio. So therefore, I respect your audience.
Well, I have a question because I know at one point during the interviews, you said that you had been asked to leave casinos because of your sneeze. Has that been under control?
I think that fired the person that sent me home. Maybe she's fired, maybe not. I don't go to that casino anymore. It was called the Hustler Casino. And the owner, Larry Flint, was shot in the groin maybe 50, 60 years ago when he was putting out those naughty female nudity pictures, and somebody took umbrage at that and shot him. So he's been in a wheelchair all his life. And I hate that casino because it's so dark and dingy and then loud. They have the speakers placed in such a way that when they want to announce somebody, your playing card, there's nine guys around, there's many, many tables. The speaker's above you on the ceiling or something, and they have a young person generally in a microphone, and a seat opens up, and people give their initials, Y-R-S-C, R-U, whatever, and so they go, R-U, 4-8, and then you're sitting, and you get, I just pick up my chip and walk out of that building. I don't want to be assaulted. I mean, if there's going to be any assault going on, it's going to be me that's going to do the assaulting.
So you was this multiple times that you sneezed and this woman threw you out, or was it a isolated incident?
Isolated.
So you just sneezed and she
yeah,
came.
She's not there anymore.
And
I changed my way of sneezing.
Oh, you did.
Instead of going with the whole thing, I now stifle it. I go. You know, stuff like that.
Now, do you want to let people know how the original sneeze went that got you kicked out?
You want me to do it on right now, here, right now?
Now,
I can do it for you.
Tell the audience, brace yourself.
Yeah, for your audience.
Here, brace yourself. Here comes the sneeze that got Bill Macy kicked out of the Hustler Casino. And when you did that, this woman came over and said what?
Go home.
Gee whiz.
Yeah. I went home, that's all.
She's
not there anymore, by the way. Her name was Patty.
Did you say anything to her?
No.
Did you say I was just sneezing?
She was the boss. And she took her job seriously, and she didn't want the other customers upset. And so they sent me home from that place about three or four times for different reasons. I used naughty words sometimes. They said, go home. Take a day off and so on. I don't go there anymore because I found this other place called the Hollywood Park Casino. It's on Century between Crenshaw and Prairie. Oh, you want to hear something that I never knew I would talk to anybody about?
Go ahead.
Of course, I just mentioned Prairie, Crenshaw, and stuff like that. Scott.
Yes.
Here's what happened. Everything I'm going to tell you is a true story. About a month ago, Samantha had ordered some merchandise through Amazon, and a young man, black driver, was in the area that I live in, and he stopped in front of the house and delivered the two or three packages that she had ordered. I forget what was inside. And he was an upstanding young man. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, sir, come into the house with me. And I just took a liking to him. And I said, let me tell you who I am, and I want to say hello to you, and so on and so forth. And I said, you can come in any time if you're in the neighborhood to say hello. Anyway, we made a date that we should see him and his wife and two children. He's got a 3-month-old and a year-old baby, and his wife, and they live in one room in the city of Gardena, where I'm going to go right after I finish talking to you and your audience. I'm going to visit him. He lives in what's the name of that street? El Segundo Avenue. I have the address right here. And I'm going to visit, because he was supposed to come and visit me with his family, but he had to go to work instead. So we called last night, and so I said, I have this radio interview today, and after we finish talking, I'm going to go over to get in my car, and I'm going to go to El Segundo and Gardena and meet his wife and two children. How about that?
Oh, that should be fun.
It will be.
Now, how old a guy is this?
Maybe 30. 25, 30.
Oh, so he'll have
a young man.
He'll have young kids.
And he was like, he just was a pleasant person.
Now, do you plan?
And I just became friendly. Like Samantha gives me a mantra. It goes like this, Scott. I'm happy. I'm strong. I'm confident, and I'm friendly. Well, happiness is up for grabs, you know. Strong, well, for 96, I'm strong enough. Confident, well, you know, I got enough confidence, and you give me a little kind of permission so I can become. But friendly, I've always been friendly. I walk up to strangers in the street, they don't even know what somebody's accosting them, and I say, hey, you want to hear a joke? I tell cops to pull over. I say, you want to hear a joke? And sometimes they say, you want it in English or in Spanish, you know. Oh, did I ever tell you that joke? I can't tell it to you on the radio.
We'll have to do it off the radio. But when you go over to this man's house today with his family, what's your plan? Are you going to just have a conversation?
Just going to be friendly, that's all. Just going to say hello. Like, nice to meet you, and so on and so forth.
I bet they'll get a picture with you.
Oh, that'll be nice. I'm going to take, now that you mention that, I'll take a couple of my 8x10 so I can give them to his wife, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you still get a lot of fan mail, Bill?
No. Occasionally I get something, and then I immediately make a response. There's one guy, let me see if Samantha's available, who's taken a liking to Samantha. He came here with his wife one day, and we welcomed him into the house, and he keeps on sending Samantha material. By the way, can you tell on the radio that I'm walking through the house?
I can tell.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, Samantha's in the shower. Hey, Samantha. What was it? Who's the name of the person that sends you all the material?
What?
Who's the guy that sends you all the material? You know, the pictures and so on. What's his name?
Pablo.
No, not Pablo. John something, right?
Jack Mulholland.
Yeah, his name is Jack Mulholland.
Jack Mulholland.
And he took a liking to something I did in the movie in which I was Duda. I forget who all of the people that were in it. And so they came to visit when he came to California. They're back, I think, in Philadelphia, and become friendly, and they send posters and pictures and all kinds of things to Samantha. Do you see? Do you feel? Do you hear that I'm out of breath?
I do.
Just from walking. Oh, the house is only 3 rooms, for crying out loud. And I just said,
no.
Wow, no, this radio interview is more fun than a film interview, because on film, I would have to yell, makeup!
you would need it. You need to know. Now, who is Pablo?
Oh, Pablo Ferro just died. He was a friend, associate of Samantha and myself, artist, supreme artist, and he died a couple of days ago. and his interview, his obituary has got to be in the papers, and so on. And so, when I said to Samantha, she said, "Pablo, it was the other guy that was sending us all kinds of posters and pictures and so on." But Pablo was a supreme artist, and he initiated. Wait, let me get up again. I'm going to walk. You know, I only have three rooms in the house, you know, maybe four. We're walking through this one, we never go into. It's like a this little. There's nobody's ever in that room that I just passed. Oh, I'm in her bedroom because we don't sleep together, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, because she snores. Listen, Samantha, what did Pablo become famous in?
Well, he was. He had several film companies. He was big on Madison Avenue for advertising. He invented. He drew the NBC peacock.
Oh.
In Burlington. He did that amazing. You know, he was. He did all of Hal Ashby's and Stanley Kubrick's titles and trailers for his movies.
All right, it's enough for crying out loud. You know, she's standing here, stark naked, talking to you on the radio. Don't embarrass me, Samantha.
Trying to dry myself up.
It's like old Calcutta all over again.
Oh, my God.
You know, Bill, this reminds me. Now, Thanksgiving is coming up. What's your plans for the big holiday?
So happy that you asked. Leon Russom was in a play with me called O Calcutta in 1970. Eventually, he married this young lady named Daphne. They had a son named Zachary. And Daphne and Leon and Zachary invited Samantha and me to their home. And Daphne is making the turkey for Thanksgiving. Now, Daphne is generally at our house because she and Samantha have bonded. And Leon is continually acting. He's always doing something. And he's a swell guy. Sometimes he grows a white beard. But he's a very good actor. His name is Leon Russom, R-U-S-S-O-M. Your audience may have seen him. And they have to look it up. Like when people want to know what I've done, I just say, open up your phone, put my name in, and Google it. And if they want to Google Leon Russom, R-U-S-S-O-M, they'll find out what he's done and so on and so forth. In fact, it's a miracle, the invention of able to Google a person's name and get their history and so on. I don't know how it gets into the ether, but it does, you know. So anyway, they invited us to their house, and we're going to go over there around 1:30. They live in the valley, and Samantha is going to do the driving today on that day because we're going to get home and it'll be dark, and I don't drive at night. So she'll do the driving.
So now, what do you like to eat on Thanksgiving?
Well, eat? Did you say eat?
Yes. What do you like to have?
It's going to be the same ritual, like turkey and sweet potatoes and I don't know what else, maybe a little salad. And very, very simple, nothing ostentatious. If there's anything, using the word ostentatious, my behavior is ostentatious. You see that, Scott. In fact, I think that's why you call me to talk to your people on the radio, because they're most likely normal, sensible, adult people that listen to you when you offer information on your radio station. And occasionally, you hire this lunatic, not you hire him, but you ask this lunatic, Bill Macy, to come on and to be bizarre.
That's a good thing.
Who else do you get on your radio show that you ask for?
Oh, well, it's a small group. It's a select group. You know something interesting?
What
did you say? The street that the pastrami sandwich place is on, what two streets is that?
Oh, That's Langer's pastrami. That's on 7th Street and Alvarado in Los Angeles.
Now, here is a weird coincidence. Yesterday on the program, we had the actress Pat Carroll, who used to work with Sid Caesar and all those things. And she said when she goes to California, because her family lives there, she always goes to Alvarado Street for Mexican food.
That's right. It's in a Mexican neighborhood.
Now, what would be the odds that we would have two people on consecutive days of all the streets in the world that would both mention Alvarado Street?
Oh, it would be phenomenal odds.
The
phenomenal.
Now, Bill, what I was thinking about, do you like pumpkin pie? Do you like the pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving?
Absolutely.
Yes, you have to have pumpkin pie and turkey.
Yeah, well, Daphne should be getting it, I guess.
And cranberry sauce.
Yes, all of the regular things.
All the fixins. Now,
but I don't eat that way during the year. You want to hear how I eat?
How do you eat?
There's a place here in California, in Beverly Hills, called the market. It's called Whole Foods, Whole Foods. They have many stores in this part of the area. And they have originated recently, maybe in the last 6 months, 8 months, a thing called a snack. And in it, it's in a plastic container, and it's got four parts to it if you open it up. And one section of the four parts is grapes. One section of the four parts is string beans. One section of the four parts is cut up pieces of cheese, and the other part is cut up pieces of turkey, roast turkey, and it's called a snack, and it's $3, and I usually get two of them, put them on the seat next to me in the car. As I drive to the casino, I have my breakfast right like that. No music, nothing except me, the food, and driving.
Now, that's a very interesting thing, and it leads me to this point, because next hour, we have Marjorie Johnson on, who's won over 200 Blue Ribbon baking contests. Is there any food that you prepare or have ever prepared in your life?
Oh, wow. Wait a minute. I have to go there. Every time I get up from a chair, you hear all the sound. I'm walking to the, John, is Samantha still getting dressed? Oh, yeah. Honey.
What?
Scott just asked me, what foods have we ever prepared that would be interesting to the audience now?
Very simple things. I'm making corn on the cob and...
Do you hear it? Do you hear her, Scott?
Corn on the cob, yes.
String beans with a little apple cider vinegar and olive oil and... we used to do lamb chops a lot, but we're not doing meat at night anymore. And potatoes or sweet potatoes or Japanese sweet potatoes are really good.
Mm.
That's about it.
Now, Bill, do you get involved with this? Do you cook with your hands and do all that?
No.
No?
No. No, 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 I don't do any of that. I just do the eating part.
Oh, well, the fun part. Now, on your Thanksgiving table, will you have a glass of wine tomorrow or something like that?
Honey, will we? Because I don't drink alcohol.
I don't know. Maybe I will, but Bill won't.
Bill won't?
Yeah.
Now, what will you drink, Bill?
Coffee.
There you go. So you'll have, do you like decaf or regular?
Regular.
Now, see, these are the things that nobody knows about Bill Macy. What kind of coffee do you drink?
Oh, what's the name of the coffee? It's
Starbucks.
I usually have, we go and buy 10 packs at a time, Starbucks instant coffee. And I had a cup of that while I was waiting to talk to you. And it's refreshing, you know,
now,
and simple.
Do you like apple cider or... soda?
I've heard of it, but I don't drink it.
Don't drink it. Do you ever drink the soda, like the soda pop?
I drink Coca-Cola or Pepsi.
Well, and you've lived to 96, so it's done well by you.
Is that harmful?
Well, not that I've heard of. I just didn't know. I think there's a lot of sugar in it.
Oh, so is sugar bad?
Well, I don't know. It's worked for you. I'd stick with whatever you were doing.
That's exactly right, Scott.
Yes.
I mean, I'm prepared to die. I'm prepared to live. I never thought I would even say something like that when I was young. I wouldn't even know how to even spell death or die or anything of that nature. However, when you reach this ridiculous age, a number of 90, for crying out loud, it's bizarre. It's ridiculous, for crying out loud. You can't walk like a young person anymore. In fact, you're old. And so I'm PO'd about it.
But you've still got at least 4 years left to go.
Well, before I do that that trick, you know, what if I don't drop dead? And I said to my wife, I could take a poison pill, and she thought it was humorous, but not realistic. She doesn't want to. She wants the front row seat, but she really doesn't want me to die when I'm 100.
Well, no, we don't want you to die. So whenever you do this, here's what I think. Well, you'll be 100, you'll be up there, they'll be playing In Memoriam. Now, I don't think this will kill you, but I think it would be enough of a thing to where they wouldn't complain. At 100 years old, if you fall off the stage, that'll be, you know, they'll say, oh, well, you know, ooh, he about...
I'm not going to do that because I hurt myself.
Well, we don't want... But I think they would be okay with that. They'd say, well, you know, no 100-year-old has ever fallen off the stage. I think even if you fall down at 100, it could be difficult.
Yeah, it would be.
But you've got...
Then again, I don't want to feel that pain. As
no.
Death, where is thy sting? That's a literary thing, but, you know.
Now, Bill...
I have no idea... I just know that there's going to be peace, P-E-A-C-E, forever. And if I want to translate that, may I continue on with my imagination?
Go right ahead.
First of all, I'm going to interrupt what I was just going to say, because I want to say, Scott, you are such a gentleman. You're the only one in the world that I know that gives me permission to be who I am, wherever I am, and when I am. So I really thank you a million times for your generosity.
Well, I appreciate it.
So now, I was going to talk about peace and death. I'm going to change my mind right in front of you and your audience and say that's exactly what life is. It's full of peace and death simultaneously. It's just around the corner. It's part of your experience. And you don't have to look at it in any kind of a... I'm trying to find the language to describe it detrimental. No, it's just... It exists. We know that the world exists. It's God created the world billions and billions of years ago, and it goes on the way it goes on, and I don't want to use any adjectives to describe the way it is. It just is, and the verb is to be is enough for me, and I hope for your audience, to accept the sense of being. And live with it, and love with it, and just spend your whole life and energy with it, and just be.
Yes, I think we all should be. And Bill, we started with a song. Now, did you ever learn the words to the Mod theme song?
No, what was it?
I was trying to think of how it even started. And then there's Mod. I remember that part.
No,
I can tell you the words.
What?
I can tell you the words.
Go ahead. Here we go.
Francis is going to tell you the words.
All right.
Yeah. Lady Godiva.
was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world looked. Joan of Arc with the Lord to guide her. She was a sister who really cooked. Isadora was the first bra burner. Angie Black, she showed up. And when the country was falling apart, Betsy Ross got it all sewed up.
And then there's Maud.
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 That uncompromising, enterprising, anything but tranquilizing, right on Maud.
Ah, that's great. That is an interesting theme song.
Yeah, Samantha is interesting also. She's got her own brilliance, and she's her own being. She's writing another book. She's written, what was the name of the first book that you wrote?
I co-authored the Two Sisters Cafe.
The Two Sisters Cafe. Your audience should look that one up. And we don't have a title for your new book, do we?
Well, it's a memoir, but I'm not telling the title yet. You gave me a great title for it.
Now are you going to do a memoir, Bill?
Oh, no, I can't write. I can talk, but I can't write.
you could dictate to somebody. Interesting things. Now, Bill.
Well, I hope you recorded it all because what we did this hour, that's worth a little bit of look. Try and put that into print.
I might do that. And now,
go ahead and do it and send me a copy because I want to read how crazy I am.
No, it's. Will you be watching the parade on Thursday morning, the Macy's parade?
Oh, it's my parade, huh? Macy's parade.
That's right.
I have no idea.
Well, it's interesting. Now, Bill,
you're interesting to me. You know that?
Well,
you know how interesting you are to me, Scott?
How's that?
You are the only one that I know that permit me to be as I am. You don't put any shackles on my behavior. And your audience most likely are friends of yours in Marion.
And beyond.
And beyond also.
Well, they are my friends, and you are my friend, and I hope you have the most happy Thanksgiving, and I will look forward to catching up with you before Christmas, because that's what family and friends do at the holiday season.
Yeah, it's mutual, Scott. It's the way we feel about you the same way. So anytime I can talk to you and your listeners, let's do it.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Samantha.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners, too.
Bye. You too. Stay well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Bill Macy, Marjorie Johnson, next hour. Cooking.
What are they before
Charlie.
They shrink?
No, wait. You know, so you have mental anguish over this
yes,
now. So it's not only the physical, it's the...